Again, thankful for Sundays. I'm thankful to take a break from this life, to be have our minds refocused on the things of God. Thankful, and I do that. I shut out the rest of the world on Sunday because this is a day to spend with the Lord and to be rejuvenated spiritually. And I hope you'll do the same. It's been a turbulent year. We're drawing to a close here in the next few weeks. But a very turbulent year, a lot of unexpected things, a lot of not so good things, changes not for the good in many ways in our land and country and in our personal lives this past year. But our God is still faithful. This life is a mix of both good and evil. It isn't just all good when you become a Christian and all bad when you're a sinner. This life's a mixture of both good and evil. And those who get focused on this life only are in danger of becoming disillusioned and giving up. Christians who have been told that God will make everything good and everything fine and they'll not have any problems, when they run into problems and they focus on this life only, are in great danger spiritually of becoming disillusioned and giving up their faith. There's a lot to be enjoyed in this Christian life. I preached on it many times. Read the scripture a service or two ago in Psalm 68:19 said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." I want to say this before I begin. I enjoy the life God's given me. I truly do. I enjoy the life God has blessed me with. It isn't perfect, but it's far beyond what I deserve. It's by His grace and His mercy that I enjoy salvation and all His benefits. And I do believe God intended us to enjoy this life. Not to seek that as our primary purpose, but to enjoy life. But I want to remind us again this morning. You already know this. I don't have to remind you. This Christian life has difficulties. But this isn't something unexpected. This isn't something unusual. This isn't a rare thing. This is real life. The real Christian life has difficulties. Acts 14 and 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, and come into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, and taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Paul, in his preaching, suffered much. Now we remember Paul's probably the greatest of the apostles. He certainly wrote more of the New Testament, more of the theology we have left to us. He wrote more of that than any other writer in the New Testament church. But he suffered a lot. And here in this passage, he was coming off a stoning. I mean, they drug him out of the city. They stoned him until they thought he was dead and left him there unconscious, presuming he was dead. But God rose him up again, and he returned and continued preaching. And then he revisited these churches that he had established to encourage them. And he encouraged them to continue in the faith, both in doctrine and in their trust for God. But he also warned them that they would face trouble and suffering. He said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He warned them that they're going to face some trouble and some suffering. And I want to do the same this morning. Not that there's any great dark clouds on the horizon more than usual. There may be or there may not be. We don't know that. But we need our faith encouraged. And we need a realistic view of the Christian life. And a realistic view of the Christian life is that we're likely to suffer in some manner in this life. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writing said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Well, armed with this expectation, we can be encouraged in our faith. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not some strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. but rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. He said, don't think that Peter writing here echoes much of what Paul said. It says, don't think it's something strange if you're in a fiery trial or in suffering. It's not just you. One of Satan's tricks is to try and isolate you. Say you're the only one that has it tough. You're the only one that has a difficult path. Your path is harder than somebody. Well, maybe harder than somebody else's, but I can guarantee it's easier than somebody else's. Amen? We've not been martyred. We've not had our homes taken. We've not been physically beaten. Amen? One of the tricks of Satan is to isolate you and say you have it tougher than everybody else. Hey, it's not some strange thing, the fiery trial. Fiery trial indicates it's not just a passing trouble. Not some strange thing. But then he says, rejoice. Rejoice that we're able to be sharing in the life of Christ. Yes, in his sufferings, but then also in his glory. Amen? Christ suffered for us. And the New Testament writers all reiterated that we ought to be happy to be able to share in his sufferings, knowing that we're suffering because he suffered, knowing that we're also going to share in his glory. And that glory is eternal life, life that can't even be compared to life here. I was reminded of that with the passing of Brother Corser. We're going to a real place. Made for real human bodies. Time with, well, no time actually. Just continual. No trouble, no sickness, no getting old. Amen? In a perfect place made for our perfect physical bodies. We can't even take that in. Amen? If it means suffering for Christ to attain that, then we ought to be glad that we have the opportunity to suffer with our Savior. In doing so, we need to determine that no matter what, we are not going to give up and give in. No matter what happens. Amen? We need to have the matter of serving the Lord really settled. Matthew 10:22 says, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." There is some enduring in this Christian life. We forget that. Life's been good. Honest. Life has been very good the last several decades in America. Life has been very good for Christians the last several decades in America. Amen? But he tells us in the New Testament time and again, Jesus told us, the apostles told us, that there were some things to be endured. Enduring is not pleasant. Enduring is continuing under pain or duress without yielding to the pressure. Enduring is continuing to do what you know you ought to do, continuing to press forward, continuing to live to please God, no matter the pain or distress that we are currently in. It's closely related to patience. Enduring is necessary in a Christian life. There are times of enduring unfairness and injustice. There's times of enduring loss. There's times of enduring pain and suffering, all kinds, physical, mental, emotional. There's times of enduring disappointments, times of enduring opposition. There's times of enduring persecution for the sake of the gospel. Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience." And that patience there could just as easily be endurance. Let's run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Another translation renders that, "Therefore, since we're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggles against sin, you've not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. We need reminded Jesus endured the suffering and the shame for our salvation. And He's our example. And the writer here tells us, look to Him, consider Him, think about Jesus, what He put up with, what He endured for your salvation, so you don't grow weary and give up. And He reminds us, and this is true for all of us, in our struggle against sin, we've not resisted yet to the point of shedding our own blood, which Jesus did for you and I. Amen? Endure. But be encouraged. Amen? It gives strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Though the trial may be intense, God's faithful. Psalm 66 and 20 said, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." You know, our timing's not always God's timing. Sometimes we will cry and we'll plead in prayer and our help yet lingers. And when it does, we're tempted to believe that God hadn't heard us or doesn't care. But I'm going to tell you, God always hears, God always answers, and His mercy is still strong to you and I. Continue to take everything to Him. Psalms 55 and 22 says, "Cast thy burden on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved." It's God that gives us the strength to stand and go on. Psalm 73 and 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God doesn't forget us. Sometimes we don't understand the timing. Sometimes we don't understand anything about what we're going through in life. But I can guarantee you this. God still loves us. God still cares. God still has a plan. And God is still faithful. Psalms 115 and 11 says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He's their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He'll bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." The Lord hath been mindful of us. He starts in verse 12. Hey, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of our fears, God's with us. He's not only with us, He thinks about us. He knows about every minute of our day, every second of our day. He knows everything that's going on around us, inside of us, outside of us, and things we don't even know about. He's mindful of us. That means He thinks about us. We're in His thoughts and in His concerns. He remembers us. He never forsakes us, never forgets us. Amen? Psalms 40 and 5 says, "Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Psalmist here realizes God is more concerned about us, thinks about us more than we can possibly even take in. More than can be numbered. Because He thinks about us all the time. You know, we're limited. We can only focus on one or two things. Most of us on one thing at a time. We can't take in, but God is unlimited. He's omnipresent and He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And He thinks on us all the time. God doesn't just come back and think on us a minute or two a day here and there. We are in God's attention and God's thought every minute of every day. Psalms 139 and 17, "How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with Thee." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God thinks good thoughts towards us. Amen? Even in trouble and trials, God's love and mercy still rest on us. God will bring His purposes to pass in your life. Good plans. Amen? Stay the course. Endure. Fight through the battles. Because God's with you. God's on your side. God will strengthen you. And God has a good plan for you. Because God thinks on us. Because God's thoughts are to do us good, to give us a future and a hope. We can put our trust in Him. Folks, this is where we better get, is to where we genuinely trust the future to God. I don't know what it holds. You don't know what it holds. But this I know, we aren't sufficient for it. We don't have the wisdom, intellect, or resources to deal with all of life. But our God does. Psalms 115:11 says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." He's our help and a shield. Amen? He's our help and our protection. He thinks of us more than we know, more than we can take in. Amen? We can trust Him. We don't need to fear the future. I don't know what it holds. Oh, I can speculate just like everybody else can speculate, but I can tell you, I don't care what discipline of life they're in, they're just speculating. That's all it is. Amen? Romans 8:31, what do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? We can endure because we have the very Creator of the universe on our side. We're not alone. We have one who knows more than we can ever take in, but He also cares more than we can ever take in. Amen? Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Strength for today. Bright hope for tomorrow. Therefore, endure. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Therefore, endure hardness or suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Therefore, continue faithful through the problems, through the difficulties, through the suffering. Because God cares, because He suffered for us, let's endure whatever it is that we're called to endure and continue faithful. Amen? If we endure and continue faithful, God will carry out His plans in your life, in my life, in the church, in our nation, and in fact in all of His creation. Psalms 138:7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purposes for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands." We can be confident that He's working in our life. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Romans 8:28, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purposes." Hey, we have a bright hope for the future, even if we're in a turbulent time, even if it gets worse instead of better for a while. And it may. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody else knows either except God. But there may be things we're called to endure. Many of you are in the midst of trials or suffering now that we need to patiently endure to see the help that God will provide for us. We're given a great promise. This life is not all there is to it. This is not the place of rewards and punishment. This is a life to be lived, to come to know God in a real way, to come to follow God in a real way, to know His love, know His care, but then be taken to a place that's perfect to live with Him forever. Romans 8:17, "And if children, heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Keep your perspective. Christians have met their death enduring and being faithful for God. Amen? And I can guarantee you the moment after their death, there was no sadness. They were rejoicing because they made it home to heaven. Whatever it is that we're called to endure, Paul says, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. Don't give up for the trifling things of this life. And I know they don't seem trifling when you're in it, but when you get to the other side of eternity, they are indeed trifling compared to the glory that lies ahead. Besides that, you know God. God is faithful, both in this life and the life to come. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord's very pitiful and tender mercy. Hey, ain't none of us going to get to heaven and God owe us anything. Amen? God is better to us in this life than what we deserve, and the promise of eternal life on top of that. Just want to encourage you this morning. Want to encourage you to continue faithful. I know many of you are in conflict. Many of us are in difficulties and trials. But so is most of our neighbors around us who don't know the Lord. Most of our nation, most of our world is in a bit of turmoil. We have a God looking out for us. Amen? A God who's promised strength for today, by His grace, to be able to live and enjoy today, and have a bright hope for tomorrow, because we have a God who loves us and cares for us. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let Satan steal your faith. Don't let Satan beat you down. Don't let Satan tell you you got it worse than everybody else. Don't let Satan tell you it ain't worth it. Continue faithful. The glory that lies ahead so outweighs any suffering in this life. Let's not miss it. Amen? And besides that, you know God. He's been faithful to us in this life way beyond what we deserve. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. Let's pray.